This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
After the 11 o'clock hour, welcome into the whole show powered by Chevron, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. It was a very eventful weekend. We have a lot to discuss here on this Monday. Obviously, we'll get into the two Ball Arena playoff teams. Both are 3-1. Today, as we sit here today, one feels really great. The other one feels like this is a pretty significant situation to be in tonight for the Denver Nuggets. I mean, the Avs have been rolling since game one. I mean, they have outplayed Winnipeg the entire series, but, you know, obviously we know the story there with game one. Georgie was certainly below average. If you get even an average performance out of him, you probably are done with this series. But nonetheless, the Avs go up 3-1. And I think they've solved the Winnipeg's goalie situation. We'll get into that a little bit. Broncos draft. I'm not even going to do the poll question. I thought about doing the grade it and stuff, but I've matured over the years, Angel. It's not worth the time and effort to go into who even me nationally, the deep insiders. I don't want to really talk about a grade because you don't know until 2 years later. We just don't know. So let's not pretend to play that game today. I liked the names on the list. I'm good with Bo Nix. I liked who Denver got in the third, and we'll get to that. I like going and getting one of Bo Nix's guys out of Oregon, bringing him over. So we'll discuss that a little bit later. But the Nuggets tonight, that's where I'm going. In fact, the Chipper's Lane's poll question of the day is what is the biggest story right now, today, in Colorado sports? That's our Chipper's Lane's poll question of the day. Broncos get their franchise quarterback. Nuggets up 3-1. Avs up 3-1. 55% of the voters on my platform, at Whole Show on X, are saying the Avalanche up 3-1. And I think that certainly feels like the story, because after game one, I think there were some serious doubts as to whether or not the Avs could get past Winnipeg. Now I think it's reversed completely the other way of maybe this team can go get its second Stanley Cup in three seasons. So go ahead and vote on that one, or let me know on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Nuggets tonight, 3-1 in Denver. Closeout opportunity. You can get the gentleman's sweep out of this. But I'm telling you, this is an important game. I mean, they're all important, but I have no interest in going back to LA. I just don't want to play with this team anymore. And I feel like this Nuggets, you know, we said it was adorable when they're winning and they're coming back and Jamal's hitting the game winners and you're down 20, you come all the way back and win, and you're down in game three in LA, it felt like you took their soul. And we kept saying, oh, the Nuggets are bored with this and they're playing with their food. Well, then you finally lost one. You didn't have that magic in the third. The Lakers actually showed up out of the locker room after halftime. I think a lot of that was, you know, really maintaining LeBron and AD's minutes in the first half. And you see them come out in the second half a lot stronger than they have all series. But am I worried? I am, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being I'm really worried that the Nuggets might actually lose the series or this game, I'm probably at a 3, but I've been at a 0 since day one. I thought they're going to sweep this team. They'll figure it out in the first. But here we are. This weird situation. It's 3-1, but it feels a little, it just feels like we're on the edge of something here. And Angel, I know that there's a long way to go for LA to do something crazy, because history will tell you exactly what we all say a million times when a team goes up 3-0, is that nobody comes back from being down 3-0. I'm not in for the magical LeBron came back, first guy ever to do it, that cements his name in NBA history and blah blah blah. I'm not interested in toying with that. I don't want to mess with it. I think tonight it's desperation time for the Nuggets. You saw what just happened with the Timberwolves. The Suns are like, they might just tear it all down after getting swept by Minnesota. You listened to some of the quotes coming out of that camp today. So the Timberwolves are ready to go. You got to take care of this tonight. There is a lot of pressure on this game. You send it back to LA, then it's probably going to be a 1-point spread or whatever. So people will, you know, the wise guys are going to say it's probably going to be a close game. And then if LA finds a way to get it done in LA, then you got a game 7 and all bets are off. So I just have zero interest in messing with this. So let's talk about the situation at hand here. The Lakers have led more than 71% of minutes played in these four games. 136.5 minutes out of 192, the Lakers have been in the lead. This game has been tied for about 14 minutes. So that's fun to see the comeback stories. And Jamal's shot, I mean, the shot at Mile High, that's going to be a legendary playoff picture for years to come. Well, if they don't win the series, it might not be. It might just kind of go away. So when I say I'm a little bit worried, I'm a little bit nervous, the Lakers have outplayed you in a lot of portions of this game. They don't show up in the third, at least they hadn't. And so that is a realistic concern. Now, we can get into our picks later. I fully expect the Nuggets to win tonight. I do. But I got to tell you, I'm going to be watching this game at the edge of my seat all night, because I know what lies ahead. You got to take care of this now, because what's coming up, this is going to be a dogfight. I mean, this could be, if you can get Nuggets basketball at its best, this could still be a 6-7 game series between Minnesota. Anthony Edwards is on a different planet right now. So this is a huge, huge night in Denver sports history, Nuggets history. You don't want to mess around with this one. You don't want to let the Lakers believe that they can win. And I think for a good chunk of the series, the Lakers have kind of believed they can win. But they just come out the gates in the second half in a terrible way, and the Nuggets take advantage of it. Also, shooting. My goodness. Last year in the Western Conference Finals sweep, the Nuggets they shot 40% from the three-point line. This year, 26%. I mean, outside of MPJ, nobody's hitting threes. So the shooting's got to get better at some point, right? This is the stuff, though, after the All-Star break, when they had a heck of a record, they kept putting themselves in a position where they were down. And I know this team is that good, where they can screw around, they can experiment, and I'm laughing about it on Friday, and we're having a good time with it. Well, it's fun when it works, but when it doesn't, and you get to the point that, you know, oh, they didn't have enough in the tank to come back, and the Lakers had some reserves left. This is when I say, okay, stop. Maybe that's the wake-up call you needed to get you geared up for the rest of these playoffs. Because I guarantee you, as long as the Nuggets get past LA, which they should, 99% chance, if not 100, I don't know. But they will be geared up for Minnesota. This will not be, we're bored of the matchup, we're bored of the Lakers. The Timberwolves are a lot of the same guys as last year, but this is a different basketball team. Completely. So you got a few young stars that are growing up, and Anthony Edwards. So this is a different team. The Lakers have felt like the same team for the last 4 years. I mean, it's LeBron and AD, and then plug in some key players, you know, some role players. It's felt like the same team. So they have to get after it tonight. I mean, I'm I don't want to mess with the 8-0 run to start the quarter, and it's Lakers up. Or you're sleepwalking through it, and you're not really running through your stuff, and Anthony Davis gets in a four-minute takeover mode, and the Lakers find themselves up by 12 midway through the second. I need to see the Nuggets play like the Nuggets for an entire basketball game. And that's why I'm coming in today. I'm not laughing anymore. I'm not joking anymore. You know, it's fun to say, the Nuggets took the soul out of the Lakers and all that stuff. That's fun, but okay, now they won a game, and it's not like the Nuggets have controlled the other three games. It took some crazy heroics to come back and win. They were down 12 in the first. They were down 20 in the second. I think they got down by 12 again in game three. And then game four, it came back to bite you. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Flying Dutchman chiming in first here on a Monday. I think I mentioned this last week. The Nuggets would get max effort from the Lakers in game four. My question is, would you rather have Jamal Murray out for the rest of this series or Aaron Gordon, hypothetically? I don't want to think about that. I don't even want to think about that. That's a tough question, man, because now we're putting the ball in whose hands at point guard? Because it's Reggie Jackson. You know, he's dealing with his stuff. So it's different. If Gordon goes out, then it's going to be Watson in there. Or maybe you mix and match DeAndre Jordan in there with Joker. So hypothetically, if I have to answer that question, I guess Murray hasn't impacted this series. If you're just talking about this series, save for his late-game heroics in Game 2, Murray hasn't really been there. And I felt like Gordon, was it game three that Gordon just went off? And that was the entire game. So I guess if I had to answer that question, I would say I'd rather have Aaron Gordon in there for this series, but I don't want to answer that. I don't want to think about Jamal Murray being listed as questionable tonight, which he is. And the strong fact that there's no way he doesn't play, right? But his minutes might be different. You're maybe not running some of the stuff. You might not get into that Murray Flurry stuff with Jamal, which we're kind of waiting to see if that happens. Hasn't happened yet in these playoffs. So this is somewhat of a nervous time today in the state of Colorado. Angel, how you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's very concerning with, you know, how these series goes, an opportunity to close it out on the road, and LA is not an easy environment to play in, but we've been saying it all series long, this Nuggets team has not gotten out of the gates looking like the Nuggets, and yeah, we joked, yeah, it's easy to come back, and this team is good enough to do that, but I said last week, when the Lakers have their role players like Russell and Reeves scoring 20 points, they're probably going to win the game, because it's dependent on one of those two guys not hitting their shots. And we saw that in the first three games, whether it was D'Lo, whether it was Reeves, those role players weren't showing up. And we just kind of assumed the Nuggets guys would. And they just, you know, for the most part, they kind of did. 22 for Murray, 33 for Jokic, and 27 for Porter, 14 for KCP. You'll take that. But it just didn't look good.
No.
Their shot selection early on hasn't been great. They're not getting into their sets, like you said, early enough, or running the stuff that, or kind of dictating the pace of the game like they want to. And, you know, the energy's not there. I don't know what you need to do to get this team motivated to wake up and play playoff basketball, but, you know, Malone's talked about it. The energy to start off is just not there. That part is concerning. I think now maybe this is a wake-up call that they can come home and you're playing in your home arena, you're good at home, but you can't let this go back to L.A.
Yeah,
you have to end it.
And maybe this could work out where it is a wake-up call, and if you can get to a situation where you're in a wake-up call in the playoffs, you don't want to have those, but you're defending champ. You're pretty confident in yourself. Fan base is extremely confident. You don't want to get to the point where you need a wake-up call, but here we are, and you got to roll with it. Teams lose in the playoffs. They do. Great teams lose. It is hard to complete a sweep. Everybody says it. That's why whenever I predict one, people freak out and say, oh, no, they're going to get one. And that's all well and good. My problem is not the loss. My problem is the first three games paired with the loss. If it was game one, Nuggets are kind of up back and forth in this first half, and then they got the lead in the first, and they don't, and then the Lakers take the lead in the second, and the Nuggets retake it. You've had to use a lot of energy to come back, and a lot of things in those, a lot of sequences in those games, if they don't swing the right way for you, then you don't win those games. So that's my biggest problem. You are going to lose. Even best team in the NBA, whether that's Denver, Boston, or Minnesota, or okay, whatever you want to say, there's always a good chance that the team they're going up against, whether this is regular season or the playoffs, but you play a team four times, there's going to be one of those games. It's just a stinker. The biggest problem for me is the Lakers. I'm not gonna dare go this way and say the Lakers have been the better team for the majority of this game, but they've had the lead. So, what does that mean? Does that mean the Nuggets don't care? They're just like, we're so good, we're gonna whoop up. I can't imagine that's a real thing that they're talking out, you know, saying out loud to each other. But mentally, I'm sure that's crept in. Joker said they got to find ways to not be bored of this team. I don't love that. I don't love saying it and speaking it into existence. And again, Joker's not saying it in a way like this team's so sucky we got to do something to keep our interest in it. I think he's talking about obviously playing this team so many times, beating this team so many times, you can get complacent. And I think that maybe the Nuggets have certainly suffered from that. I do think that that was a wake-up call. And you might see the Nuggets in full-on Nuggets form tonight. At least that's the hope. And if I'm predicting, I would predict that's the case.
Yeah, and just looking at the first three games in a broad picture now, it's in sports, comebacks are very demoralizing. And I said it before the series even started, I don't think the Lakers are a team that's going to chase. That if they fall behind, they're not going to be able to get that. They're not going to be able to pull off a 12-15-point comeback like the Nuggets have.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And when you give them that, you keep giving them that chance. You keep giving them, okay, yeah, tortoise in the hair, I'll give you the head start. I'm going to take this slow. Not that they've been slow and steady, but they keep doing what they're doing, and it finally worked in game four. And so I think Nuggets had to get out fast. Don't even give them the chance to mount some kind of comeback. And I think if the Nuggets get up by 15 and they cut it down to like 6 or 7, the Nuggets will just fire back even better. And I go back to last year in the first round. I know completely different series, completely different teams. They were up 3-0 in Minnesota, lost the second game in Minnesota, came back and won it.
And it was a close game. That was a nutty game, too. I'm going to say the same thing I said about the Avalanche in game two. How do you come out in the first period? That is going to be something I'm looking. This is, I mean, I'm locked in all game, but the first period tonight, this is one of the most important first quarters. This is the most important first quarter of the season for the Nuggets. Now for the Avs, they gave up. Georgie gave up a quick goal in game two against Winnipeg, and then calmed down the rest of the way. And then second period rolls around, the Avs do their thing, and you can say they were down 1-0, but it wasn't. It didn't feel insurmountable at all. And so you have the confidence going into the second period. So I'm not even saying the Nuggets have to win the first, but let's not mess with getting down by double digits in the first. 8-0 run, I know it's early, and in most cases that's fine in basketball. But if the Lakers go on an 8-0 run like they did in game three, I think you're going to feel the tension in Ball Arena, and the fans are going to feel it. Just like you felt it when the Nuggets even tried to come close in game four, Lakers fans would kind of go, uh-oh, here they go. And then fortunately for the Lakers, they were able to just overcome that every time. Denver could not get offensive rebounds. Defensive rebounds. How many second chance opportunities did the Lakers have in game four? So the glass half full is like the Nuggets have played maybe 30%. Of the series, like the Nuggets. The glass half empty is you've screwed around with this team too much. Now they believe. Now they've seen the ball go through the hoop, and they think they can do it. It's a funny quote I heard. One of the guys inside the game at the end of the game was, "Hey, you've lost this team 11 times in a row. Now you know you can do it." And it's funny to hear that. because you win 1 out of 11, 1 out of 12 times. That's ridiculous, but there is some truth to that. You find a way to finally win and go, we can beat this team. They're not invincible. We just can't, crap the bed in the third period. And that's if the Lakers would have just come out and been a little, average to a little above average in all of those thirds, then this series probably has a completely different tone. So I keep saying stop playing with your food. I keep saying stop screwing around. Take this thing seriously. And I know it's never that easy, but it sure feels like it. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me is, how about those Colorado Avalanche, man? I mean, they're just, they look the part now. Last win, they win 5-1, and this is just a team that is in sync right now. And the fan base, they're going back to their Blink 182 days, man. You got the crowd chant. Yeah, never drop that. That's a great thing. Why go away from that? That should always be their thing. All the small things. They pull Hellebuck. If we would have said that after game one, there's going to be a goalie that gets pulled because they're so bad. There's no way you're guessing Georgia, even though Hellebuck has had some bad playoff games in his history. We wouldn't have said that. The bad for me is, it's the Nuggets finally lose. At the end of the day, you still own this team. But maybe the who's your daddy thing has gotten a little carried away. And now it's time to just recalibrate. Go win a basketball game tonight. Finish this stupid series. And prepare for a dogfight. Prepare for a freaking battle against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The ugly is the first quarter, first half issues for the Nuggets. And the fact that the Lakers have had the lead way more than half of the series. Got to get it right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, get into my poll question. What's the bigger sports story right now? Broncos draft. We'll get into that. Bo Nix was obviously the talk of the town when it comes to the Broncos, but there's some other guys on that list that I think should have at least Broncos country a little optimistic about the near future. Brian Howell is going to join me from Buff Zone, and we'll talk about the Buff spring game. Boy, that got some interesting controversial comments over the weekend. All that and more coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron.
There's only one station that carries all four.
We've got to go win them.
Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and Broncos. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling. It's going to be there for you this summer when it gets ridiculously hot, and that room that you're kind of worried about now becomes a problem, like Anthony Davis right now, or Anthony Edwards, excuse me. Either one might be a problem. Don't let your AC be a problem. Talk to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Free estimates available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Flying Dutchman says, until further notice, the ugly should always be the Rockies green uniforms. Yeah, I don't really like the Rockies green uniforms, but they got bigger problems than their uniforms.
Yeah, on pace for 122 losses.
Yikes. Did not win a series in the month of April. It's done because they don't play today. And last I checked, you can't win a series in one day. So the Rockies are 7-win baseball team right now. 7 wins through a month of baseball. 33 minutes after the hour. The spring game for the Colorado Buffaloes. Not as many people were out there as last year, but that has some freaking out. Let's see what Brian Howell has to say about it. We'll catch up with him next, but first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado, there's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, there's a lot of discussion about spring football. We had, the UNC Bears in action, the CU Buffs in action. Earlier in the week, the Cowboys, Wyoming Cowboys were in action, and then last weekend was CSU. I love it. The drama surrounding anything that happens, positive, negative, whatever, in Boulder. Brian Howell with Buff Zone, our Buffs insider, on to talk with us now. And Brian, this is the way I go with it, man. I know you retweeted, or you ended up saying, "Hey, they ended up selling what, 20 to over 28,000 tickets." My thoughts on all of it, Brian. Honestly, it's like it's spring ball. Of course, last year there's going to be more people, rain or shine, because it's brand new. We all love In-N-Out Burger, but we don't go like mad wolves the first, after the first 2 weeks. Now we just kind of like it. So I don't really see a big deal one way or the other as far as attendance. Brian, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
It's a busy Monday, man. There's a lot going on, and spring ball is – hey, thanks to Prime, spring ball is a big topic of discussion around here now.
That's right, and I do like your in and out analogy. I've never heard that. But I think it's spot on, when In-N-Out comes here. It was the same thing 20-some years ago when Krispy Kreme came here for the first time.
Sure.
I told people that story recently because of In-N-Out. But, people just want to be a part of it, right? And so that was the same thing with spring game last year. And, yes, only about half the people showed up of that 28,000 the other day. But that's still – look. 2 years ago, it was nice and sunny, and tickets were free. All you had to do was just walk up and walk in, and only 1,900 people showed up. And so for 14,000 or 15,000 people, whatever, to actually use their tickets the other day, that's still impressive. It's still one of the most highly attended spring games in CU history, despite that downpour.
Well, and to go back to the analogy, you might not go as much to In-N-Out Burger, but it's good. And that's when I want a burger, that's where I'm going. I'll be more concerned if we start seeing, a mass exodus during the regular season. But again, it's spring ball, and this is why I'm saying it. Like, if it wasn't for Prime, none of us would be arguing over who has the most attendance at spring football. Now it's a thing, and that is because of Deion Sanders.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Nebraska fans like to jump on it and say, we had 60-some thousand. Well, yes, we get it. Nebraska always sells out the spring game, and, it's a great atmosphere there, but what else is there to do? Right?
Right.
So, they're the biggest thing in the state of Nebraska. The Buffs have never been the biggest thing here. It's still pretty impressive. And, even with the rain, it was a good atmosphere, and it was a short spring game and not exactly what everybody would have loved. You'd love to have a nice day and they go practice for 2 hours and you got a full complement of players and all that stuff. But that's not what it was. It's just a practice, and it was still a good atmosphere.
Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. So, Brian, last time we had you on, it was kind of an interesting time for CU. We were seeing a lot of players enter the transfer portal. That's kind of how this stretch is now. And I know the Buffs had a large number, maybe larger than some. But has it, in your mind, have things kind of evened back out? Because I'm seeing a lot of names on the daily here that are headed to Colorado. So has, for the most part, this all kind of evened itself out?
Yeah, I think for the most part, I'm curious to see that, there's a walk-on receiver that went into the portal just a little bit ago. I'm curious to see post-spring if there's another little, I don't even want to call it an exodus, but another little rush to the portal. If there's some guys that maybe went through spring and realized maybe I'm not going to have a role here. But the portal closes for undergrads tomorrow, so that's going to have to happen today if it happens, I think. So I think for the most part it's over. Grad transfers could leave at any time, and we might see some people trickling out, but there's going to be a lot of people coming in. They still got about a dozen spots to fill.
Well, this is one of the reasons I love having you on with us, too, because you were on right around the time the McClain situation hit. And that was, I mean, you kind of enlightened us a little bit and said, hey, here's some of the stuff that's been going on that maybe they're not, you know, he's not as dedicated to his classes. He's not as dedicated to this. So the Cormani McClain thing to me, Brian, was interesting. And then right after that, he says, hey, I'm interested in going to a program that's not about the clicks or whatever. And thankfully, your conversation stuck in the back of my head where I'm going, okay, something's not adding up between the two here.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird situation. And, you know, and there's the irony of, you know, posting something. I'm not here for the clicks, but you'd post something to get the clicks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the bottom line is that I've heard – from a lot of people that he just wasn't taking care of things. And as far as I think classroom stuff sounds like he's been doing okay there, but it's as far as meetings and the work he had to put in on the football field. And, you know, I just don't know if this was a great fit for him for a program. And, you know, we're seeing it. I mean, it's not like he's found a spot yet. And we haven't heard a lot of big name programs that are going after him. And so, he might land at a place like Memphis or, you know, Florida Atlantic or something like that. That maybe it's a good program for him, but that's not a 5-star destination, right? I mean, that's not Alabama, Georgia, things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see where he lands.
Brian, what is the feel around this Buffs team right now? I mean, obviously there's still a lot of interest. There's no question. This is the most we've talked about Colorado, or at least nationally people have talked about Colorado maybe ever, say for, what, 1990. This is still a really interesting, cool time for Colorado. But what is the real feel around this program? Guys like you that have followed this program for a while, and you're seeing these big names leave, you're seeing big names come in. How do you think next season's really going to go down?
Yeah, I think the general feel, and I would guess this is the feeling in the building, is that they're a better team, you know, and you know they've lost 31 scholarship guys to the portal, but they've brought in 33. I think they're a better roster, and they're going to bring in more guys and some more depth. And I think when you think about this, if people would just take Deion Sanders out of the equation and just look at the progress of this program, you say they were 1-11 2 years ago, and then they went 4-8 last year, and they should have probably been a bowl team, you know, because they should have beat Stanford. And you beat Stanford, you might win another one. And here they are, maybe with an even better roster. You look at it and say, huh, that's a pretty good 2-year trajectory. You've got potentially the number one pick in the draft next year in Shedeur Sanders. You got potentially 2 top 10 picks in the draft and a better roster. I think most people look at it and say, that could be a pretty good football team.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I mean, it's hard to separate him, of course, because he's so outward. He is talking a lot and all that. But the bottom line is, last year they were a better team than they were the years before that. There was a lot more juice surrounding the program, and it feels like they should at least, I don't know how many more wins they're going to get next year as opposed to where they were last year. But I there's no denying it. If you just remove the clicks or whatever from this team is still on paper looking better every single year the primetime's been there.
Yeah, and the projections are that Shedeur is going to be the first quarterback off the board next year, and which means potentially the number one pick. And you've now surrounded him with what we think is a better offensive line, a better defensive line, which means hopefully a better defense. They brought in a couple corners, DJ McKinney and Preston Hodge, who are really good and are allowing Travis Hunter to then play in the nickel where he can be more effective. And so you're a better team. Now you're bringing in some running backs that have got some juice to them as well and some receivers. And you look at it and say, okay, this might be something, you know, pretty good out here. And I don't think they're going to be, you know, like the Big 12 champions or anything like that. But if they're a 7-5, 8-14, that's a really good season in my opinion.
Well, and you are starting to get guys with that firepower. You know, you mentioned it with Shedeur Sanders. A lot of the, you know, we're projecting him to be a first pick overall, certainly top 3-5 at this point. But, you know, you look at that over the weekend, and I think you posted this over the weekend, Brian. I snapshotted it here. Let me find it. For the third year in a row, no players from Colorado were selected in the draft. And that certainly seems like that's going to change. That alone should give, again, the people that love the Buffs don't need me to tell them those are all great signs going forward after this with these players. But even the ones that are really knocking what's going on with primetime, bottom line is you are bringing in a better a higher quality of player.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, clearly it starts with Shador and Travis, and, you know, that's potentially two number one picks, if not top 10 picks. And but there's other guys on this team you look at and say, yeah, they might be NFL talents too. And it's not just Shador, Travis, and Shiloh. I mean, there's, you know, Will Shepard coming in here is a pretty good receiver. LaJonte Wester was number two in the country in receptions last year at FAU, and he balled out at the spring game on Saturday. So, you know, we're looking at some guys saying, okay, there's some pretty good talent here.
Well, let's go back to the Travis Hunter thing, too. I'll be interested to see how that plays out with the two guys you brought up and, you know, the defensive backfield. Just how creative will they be able to get defensively if Travis Hunter is playing more in that nickel role, or perhaps he can float around a little bit more, even, you know, really focusing, spying on that quarterback?
Yeah, I think that it allows them to be pretty creative. And, you know, even Coach Prime was saying it the other day that, he goes, I don't even know where he's going to start. He's obviously going to start, but I don't even know where he's going to start. But the fact that Preston Hodge and DJ McKinney have come in here and stepped it up gives them some options now to where all of a sudden you've got, you know, maybe the best player in America playing at that nickel spot where he can help out and run support. And, you know, frankly, a lot of teams these days put their best receiver in the slot. And so now you got Travis Hunter on that guy. But then you can move him out if a certain team has their best player is an outside receiver. Now you put Travis out there. And so I think it gives you a lot of flexibility and maybe some opportunities to give him a little rest as well.
Brian, last one for you. How about the offensive line? We know we've certainly seen some big names popping for the Buffs. Do you feel like they've done enough to really – that was the big thing. They got to be able to protect Shador, give him time to create. How do you feel about those guys up front?
I feel pretty good about him. I think that group looked pretty solid the other day, and you know, I think Shador was sacked like on the second play, but he wasn't really touched after that. And I think that group is just overall better. And they've added in the last week three new transfer offensive linemen to add some more depth to that room. And they got a guy from Clemson yesterday that he was a true freshman of last year. He's 6'6", like 370. You know,
Wow.
Got some big guys coming in here, and so I think the depth is good. I think overall it's just a better group. I don't know if it's the best. It's not going to be like the best group in the Big 12, but it's a much better group than it was last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, we've said it. If they could just get that line improved just a little bit, that could be the difference in going to at least minimum a bowl game. So hopefully they get that figured out. Brian, my man, always appreciate you busting it over the weekend on transfer news, spring football news, all of it. And we'll look forward to catching up with you soon, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Brian Howell, Buff Zone. I'm telling you, with the Buffs, guys, the truth is always probably somewhere in between. If things are too high, they probably shouldn't be. If things are too low, they probably shouldn't be. That's where I'm going with it right now. The spring game, whatever. I mean, it was a big deal last year. I think that it was a big deal because it was brand new. And it's still a huge deal. They got their second best attendance this weekend when it was nasty. Now, I don't really like the weather thing as being an excuse because this is Colorado, and I mean, we got high school athletes running track in this stuff, Angel. 11:50 the time. Maybe not now. Yeah, they're in track season. 11:50, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll touch on spring football. Angel was out at UNC's spring game this weekend. We'll get his thoughts there. Get into the top story of the day. More on the Avs and the Nuggets. And we haven't even touched the Broncos NFL draft from the weekend. All that and more coming up next.
Hear Nuggets and Avalanche games crystal clear in NoCo.
Are we clear?
Crystal.
Bank of Colorado presents Nuggets and Avs broadcast now on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
on the rocks, Liquor. Hey, they're ready for you. They're ready for you. Maybe you got to calm those nerves ahead of tonight's big game, or just get ready to celebrate. On a Monday, even. It's playoffs. You know, every day is the weekend now. On the Rocks Liquor, they got their free wine and beer tastings every single Friday. Check them out. Half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. They got a drive-thru, too. So if you already know what you want, don't need to go in, pop by the drive-thru. They'll take care of you. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Angel, you had an opportunity to get out. Didn't stop you. You were out there in the cold. You know, watching some UNC football, UNC spring football, and, you know, just talking with Ed Lamb and these Football 52 podcasts, the big thing that I keep going back to is this team's probably going to be really good in the trenches, the offensive line, the defensive line. I don't know how much of that you can really tell from the spring game, but what stood out to you?
Yeah, the defense definitely stood out to me. Thing I noticed with them is their energy and just they're having fun playing with each other, and that's, you know, I think that's something that Coach Lamb's coaching staff has worked together to really emphasize is, hey, yeah, it's hard work, it's football, it's tough, it's physical, it's hard sometimes, but we're gonna have fun while we do it. And they're, you know, you get an interception, you get a fumble return, and they're all celebrating on the sidelines. That was fun to see. Secondary pretty solid, as you mentioned, the trenches there. I know the offensive line they feel really good about. Didn't see too many big breakaway runs. The offense definitely took a little while to get going. The defense got the edge with the weather and just the feel of the day. But David Afari coming back at running back, he looks like he's going to be a contributor there. The three quarterbacks that saw action, Hank Gibbs, Peter Castelli, and Caden Box, all got rough early on, got a little better as the day went on. I think each of them had one very nice throw. I think it was Castelli or Box had a nice 50-yard shot down the sidelines. That was nice to see. Just it's spring ball. If it looks good on one side, it's probably looking bad on the other, and then vice versa. So just good to see the Bears getting out there.
Yeah, and what I was hearing from a lot of people, too, with Caden Box, shout out to him, was he connected on that 45-pluser, that was maybe the better throw of the day. Who's the starting quarterback day one? Is it Peter Castelli or Hank Gibbs?
I am probably leaning towards Hank Gibbs. It's still fairly close, I'd say, at this point. Gibbs feels a little more he's a big-bodied guy. He has like a Josh Allen type of body, and he's not afraid to run. He's not afraid to go run and try to find somebody to lay a shoulder into. There was one play where he's running out, and you could hear the linebacker running, like, I'm going to get you. And, you know, they're having fun out there, but, yeah. I'd probably go with Gibbs to start.
Yeah, well, he's the 6'5", 240-pound monster of a quarterback, so we'll see. I think, yeah, it's going back and forth with those guys. But I do think that the Bears have been pleasantly surprised in Caden Box, the Longmont product. So I think a lot of fans are paying attention to him. This is what's beautiful about recruiting locally is a lot of people know his name, and they get excited, and they want to follow his career.
Yeah, and with all three quarterbacks, you're using a new play caller this year, new offensive system, a little bit new. So you want to try to nail down that decision and try to build up that chemistry with your receivers.
Spring ball is officially done. At least, I don't know, is their Air Force finished theirs too? At least for the teams that we're talking about. Now we're talking about the NFL draft. How did the Broncos do? Where did some former CSU Rams go? Angel might just have to be wearing a little green and gold next year. We'll talk about that coming up. Top story of the day first, coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.